Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read our word for today from Philippians 1:27 from the Amplified. Let's go. Only be sure to lead your lives in a manner that will be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit and one purpose, with one mind, striving side by side as if in combat for the faith of the gospel. Well, it is just my utmost privilege and honor to bring the word to us today. I don't take it lightly. And hasn't this been an awesome month, church? Haven't we been learning so much from breakthroughs side by side? Man, for Pastor Kevin kicked us off, and the Ngayus taught us about family, children, the child-parent relationship last week. Come on, can we give it up for the Gishoes teaching us about marriage? And this has been such a great series. We've been really considering, who are you side by side with? Because we're not meant to do this alone. This is what we've been learning over the last 3 weeks. God never intended for us to do this alone. And as we've been learning, we've been focusing on key relationships in life. And we've been learning values that no matter what season we're in, all of the values we're learning can be applied in some way in our lives. Man, I love this house. I'm so grateful for Nairobi Lighthouse Church. I'm so grateful for those who every week pour out and invest so much in us. Now, the last few weeks, we've been studying about family, about marriage, and there's a group of people who've really had to just make the decision to glean in those messages because it's a season that they're not in. And I'm talking about all the singles. Hallelujah. And today we're going to talk about singles. Hallelujah. So now, married folk and parents, the same way they've had to have the wisdom to glean, it's your turn now. Don't clock out because you're like, single is a season I will never go back to. So this is not for me. The values are still something you can apply in your own life. But more than that, all of us have singles in our world, right? In our small groups, in our families, we all have people that it's good to listen out for them as well, to know how to encourage them and how to stand with them and how to celebrate and champion where God has them right now. Amen? So don't disconnect. Stay locked in. I want to start by giving you the definition of the word single. Single means only one in number. Oh, yeah. It means unique, soul, unmarried. That's what we tend to think of, right? When we say single, unmarried. Sincere and undivided, separate, particular, or distinct, individual. But look at this last part. It says consisting of a separate, unique whole. Single literally means whole. And we tend to think of being single as meaning something is missing or something has not yet been achieved or there's a level that hasn't yet been attained. We tend to think of single as a half or not yet complete. But the actual definition of single is you are whole, nothing missing, nothing lacking. You know, God math is odd because it says that the two shall become one. All this thing of I'm looking for my other half, you're in big trouble if you find someone who's only half. The Bible says it's two who become one, two whole, complete, nothing missing, nothing lacking, become one. And it's in the process once they become one, and that only happens in marriage, God's way. It doesn't happen in Come We Stay. It doesn't happen when you get your boo thing and you change your status to in a relationship. That's not when oneness happens. Oneness happens in marriage. And once you get married, now the two that have become one are now one. So it's kind of this really weird math, you know? Two are one, it's one plus one is one. And then once you're married, now you have a better half because now we're one. And I want to encourage the singles in the house today. Stop pushing past the season that God has you in. You are not lacking. You are not missing something. And I want to encourage the married folks in the house today. Look at the single people in your world. They are not lacking. They are not missing. They're not at a lower level of anointing and calling and ability and power and authority because they are single. They are whole. They are complete. My friends, if Paul, a single man, can raise the entire church pretty much and counsel the marrieds, I'm just saying, there's an anointing God puts on single people. The anointing does not come once you enter the marital covenant. And sometimes we tend to woye singles. Aki woye. Kwanzaa, the older we become, the woye gets even stronger. You know, when you're 21 and single, it's okay, you have time. When you're 31 and single, woye. There's no woye. Stop pushing past the season. Stop pushing past where God has. He's not wasting this season. Now listen, God doesn't waste a season, but the question is, singles, are you wasting the season? God's not wasting you, but are you wasting what God has for you in this time? Family is assigned. This is what the Nyus told us. Family is assigned. Marriage is chosen. But when you're single, the awesome thing is that you get to pretty much choose everything about this season. You get to choose who surrounds you. You get to choose where you go, what you do, what you build, how you spend your time, how you spend your money. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about me, for those who might not know. I have four sisters and a brother. And the four older of us, we kind of grew up. There's a 10-year gap between sibling number four and sibling number five. Yes, so the four older of us kind of grew up together, and we're all girls. And when you asked us when we were little, well, when you asked me when I was little, Rebecca, what do you want to be? You know when you ask a little girl, a six-year-old, a seven-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? Never did I say anything like, I want to be a princess, or I want to be a teacher, or I want to be a ballerina. From the time I was a child, my answer was, I want to be a wife and a mother. Now, I don't know if you've seen my sisters, but they're all more on the slender side. And yours truly here, let's just say we used to joke around when I was a kid and say, the Lord has designed me to bring children into the earth. Like I knew that this was part of my big calling, was to bear many children and multiply and take dominion in the earth. And I was ready. I wanted to get married when I was 17. And I literally prepared. Like I learned how to cook. I learned how to budget. I was like Little Miss Run the Household. I loved taking care of babies and children. Like everything about my existence was just focused on, I'm going to get married and I'm going to be the best wife. I am going to be the Pinterest wife. I mean, Pinterest wasn't there in the day, but still. And so not me being in my 30s, still single, like while I am the best maid to my little sister. I mean, guys, what an honor, but also it's kind of a woye, sindio. It's kind of a woye when you usher your little sister down the aisle, like to her husband. And then my other sister got married, and my other sister who got married felt that the Lord had called her to singleness and celibacy. And then I'm like, God, her? I am literally here like, heavens open and favor your daughter who wants a husband. And the one who doesn't want to get married gets married. And then the one who didn't even realize truly that men exist until she was like 18 years old, she gets married. And me, who's literally here like, who wants to marry me? I'll get married. Oh my goodness. It was a much longer season than I ever thought it would be. But I learned so many valuable things. I also made some significant mistakes, and we're going to talk about it today. So all the singles in the room, I feel you. All right? We didn't bring someone who got married at 19 years old to come and tell you how to live your best single life. Because it can feel a little hard to swallow sometimes. When the girl who's married and has 3 children is like, enjoy the season. And you're like, you didn't. I'm here. I got you. Let's do this. What can we learn? What are some values we can learn as a single in this season of life? Number one, build well. Build well. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27 says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit. Hey, that's a serious season of challenges. But nothing moved that house. It was built, it was fixed to the rock. But here's a warning. If you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter. The Bible said it, not me. Who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. How are you building? What are you building? Where are you building? Right now, as a single person, what are you building? Now, again, marrieds, ask yourselves these questions as well. They're still gonna apply, right? Yeah, they do apply. But singles, you gotta ask, what am I doing with this time and this season that I have? What am I building? Where am I building? What foundation are you building your life on right now? Manage the season you are in and capitalize on it. So what are some ways you can build well as a single? Well, build yourself well. Look, this is a unique season because it's a season where you can be a little bit self-centered. Now, I don't mean to cross the line and go into this unhealthy, everything is all about me, but the only person that you are responsible to build in this season is yourself. When you get married, and especially when you have children, there are others now who need investment and time and care and the word and prayer and intercession and provision. But right now, there isn't that pressure and that responsibility. So build yourself well. Can I just say something? As someone who lived very long single and went to all my friends' weddings and all my friends' baby showers, oh, I feel you. Imagine I do. But someone who's now married and loving my married life, can I just say this, that marriage is not going to automatically heal what is sick or broken or lacking in you. In fact, if anything, marriage will expose it. Certainly marriage is going to help. Certainly if it's a good, godly relationship, by all means, the partner that you marry is going to help make you even more. And God will use each other in the marriage to form both of you more into who he always intended for you to be. But sometimes as singles, we think, oh, this lust isn't a problem because once I have a spiritual, sanctified, blessed outlet for my attraction and my desire and my passion, I won't struggle with this anymore. Yes, you will. Oh, it's okay that I'm just spending all of my money on, you know, PS games and vacations because once I get married, I'll be super responsible. Well, I mean, it'll help, but what marriage does, it mirrors you. Marriage mirrors. Marriage is you think you're going to tell that person about all the work the Lord needs to do in their life, but God's really using it to show you. You aren't a bag of chips yourself. Like, you got some work to do. So build yourself well in this season. Build what is lacking. Build what is needing. Look, all of us are sinning and falling short of the glory of God. All of us need growth. This is your season. This is your opportunity to, without the humility required for the mirror of your marriage, this is the time to just say, hey, I see a pattern. I see a struggle. I'm going to build well. I'm going to work these words into my life, not just my Bible study. I'm going to work these words into my patterns, which brings me to the next one. Build your rhythms well. In this season of building well, build your rhythms well, your rhythms of health, your rhythms of wealth, of serving, of resting. You know, one of the things I hear a lot from single people is, I'll do that when I'm less busy. I just want to say that you are the least busy you will ever be in your life right now. You will never be as least busy as you are now. So if you can't work it into your life now, trust me, when you add marriage on top of what your career and your job and what all the things that are going on, and then you add children to that, and then you add old age, and you're just moving a little slower, build rhythms now, because you can't think, oh, in the next season, I'll build this rhythm of reading the Bible and pray. Boss, now you have someone in that bed snuggling with you. You think it'll be easier to wake up and read the Word of God when someone warm and cute is right there? If you don't already have the rhythm of doing it in your cold, sad bed, that if you don't, if you just move to this side, it's like, ooh, it's chilly. Build the rhythm now. The habits and the rhythms you are building as a single will not suddenly be undone when you get married or when you move into the next level. Yes, there is grace. There is grace. Whether that is marriage or a promotion or some type of advancing into the greater and the more that God has for you, there is grace, but you have the opportunity to set yourself up now. Think about it this way. Are you gonna have to spend your next season single? And this could be referring to marriage. This could be referring to promotion. This could be referring to another big life change. Are you gonna have to spend whatever that next season is for you undoing what you're doing right now? Undoing the habits you've learned and the rhythms you've picked up and the cycles you've allowed, that now that I'm the boss, now that I'm a CEO, now that I'm a manager, now that I'm a spouse, now that I've moved to the next level, I have to undo habits and I have to undo cycles and I have to undo rhythms. Or are you gonna spend the next season, are you setting yourself up to, when I step into the next thing, I'm just simply adding to what I'm already building? In other words, my friends, as you're building on the rock, when you get into the next season, are you going to spend the first year of your marriage? Let me use marriage as an example, because we tend to think of that as, you know, the obvious next step. Are you going to spend the first year of your marriage undoing? Or are you going to spend the first year of your marriage adding? Adding, I've already built this, and now I'm going to add this, and I'm going to add this. Are you going to build, and then when you get married, you're going to be like, yeah, I had this part, take all of that down. And this other thing, I don't even know what I was thinking. Even me, I'm confused. When I walk into my own building that I designed, I walk in and I'm like, even me, I don't know what I was building. Let's just tear it down. Set yourself up now. Playing PS until 2 o'clock in the morning. As a habit, not as an occasional way of enjoying the fact that you're single. Texting and DMing your best friend, who's the opposite gender, at 11 p.m. Addictions to porn, not tithing, not giving, not being generous. These are not things that suddenly become undone because you get married or because you get promoted. These are healthy things that you can start changing now, building now. Build your fun well in this season. Now, by fun, I don't mean let's go out and party and have fun like the world says it. But you have a season to build your fun so well. Enjoy this season. Have a blast in the godly proper way. Amen? Build the kingdom well. Where you are right now. You know, when we say build the kingdom well, our minds automatically go to be a cell leader, join a ministry team, and be in every single event that NLC has. And my answer to that is yes. But that's not only what we're saying. Most of us in this life are not going to be called to full-time ministry in the local church, but you are called to full-time ministry where you are. You are as called to full-time ministry as I am. This coming year will be my 20th year on full-time staff here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church. I've been called to full-time ministry here, but I'm also called to full-time ministry as Mrs. Gitudo and in the house that I'm in. And I'm also called to full-time ministry in my friend circle. You're called to full-time ministry. You're just called to it where you are. That's your college or your job, your work, your neighborhood. Build the kingdom there. Is your business building kingdom? So it's not just in here, it's out there, but it's also in here. Because this is a great place to do life side by side. Because that's what God always intended the church to be, is family and friends and community. I want to say something, singles. Listen to me. Are you listening? You are not losing your life and your best and your most enjoyable season by serving in the house of God. Do not buy the lie of the age that you're going to miss out on something out there if you connect in here. That is such a lie. The best is also in here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4, in the message, it says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That is where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Singles, your real life, your true self, it's in Christ. It's not in a job description. It's not in a career pursuit. Your real life is in Christ. What does that mean? Because you're going to have a career and you're going to have a job pursuit. That means in this career and in this job that I am pursuing and I am doing, the real life that I have in this job is that I am in Christ in this job, is that I am in Christ in this office, is that I am in Christ in this business planning meeting, is that I'm in Christ in this season, is that everything about my life is in Christ. Amen. How else are we building well? Build your family. In this season, singles, build your family. Build your friends. Invest in them. Love on them. Be generous to them. Build memories. Don't look back on this season with regret. Listen, there aren't as many responsibilities on you in this season, and so enjoy that. Listen, guys, I'm just going to be real honest. One of my favorite things about being single was being able to spend money. Like, I can spend money, and if we just eat sukuma and ugali for the rest of the week for every single meal, hey, I can suffer. The shoes were worth it. Like, the only person this is affecting is me. It changes when Mr. Sucre's in the house now. I can't go home and be like, babe, we're just eating skooma and ugali for the rest of the month. Okay, but don't you love my new shoes? Spend, give, risk. Singles, this is a great season to take some calculated, wise, counseled risks. Invest. Build your business. Buy the chickens. Start the farm. I don't know. Start the company. Become a content creator. I don't know, whatever. Listen to the Lord and get counsel. But you can risk right now because, again, the only person who suffers if this goes wrong is you. It's different. Ask any married person and especially any parent in this house. The minute you have family, it all changes. Now we must think and pray and fast for like 3 years before we, Lord, is this you? Because there's much at stake now. It's beyond me. Yeah? Number two. What do we do in this season? We build well and then we friend well. Guys, there are friends for seasons, friends for reasons, and friends for a lifetime. Can we sing together? Because friends are friends forever. If the Lord's... Okay, only this corner sang. Thank you very much. Friend well. You want to rock this season? Friend well. Develop great friendships, because truly the people that you are doing life side by side with, especially in this season, are your friends. And I just want to throw something in here that this can really include your siblings, all right? We don't have to have sibling rivalry and sibling hate. Your siblings can be the best and greatest friends to you in this season. They can also take you away from Jesus. So the same criteria you have for friends out there, we apply also within the family, okay? You got to have wisdom, especially if your siblings aren't walking with the Lord. But make great friends. That means do the social friends well. You know, most of the friends that we have are on a social outer circle. Yeah? Social media is a good example. These are very few of them, if any, are the ones that you're going to call when the rubber hits the road and life is serious now. But it is still a huge part of our world, is the social element. Do that well. What does that mean? Follow good people on social media. Make good decisions about the influence you're influencing your mind and your emotions in the social realm. Make good decisions about how you're socializing. You know, where are you at 5 o'clock? And we can't always justify going out drinking because the office is taking us. Social well. Do the social part well, but also be deep-spirited friends well. You know, your circle might be small. In fact, your circle most likely will be small. Your inner circle, your close friends. But you need to pick good people and wise people. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The people you are surrounding yourself with in this season are going to have the most effect on where you end up. Who is your inner circle? Think about this. All of us, but especially singles. Who's your inner circle? Because that is the people that will have the most influence on you, and your circle matters. Why? Because who you move with is who will move you. Who you move with is who will move you. There's something in psychology called vicarious dissonance. Vicarious dissonance means when you see someone behave in a way inconsistent with your attitudes, you change your attitudes. It doesn't mean when I see someone behave in a way different than my attitude, that my attitude changes their way. Does that make sense to you? My attitude about this thing, my attitude about drunkenness, will not change the person who's getting drunk. It's the person who's getting drunk, if they are in my social circle and especially my inner circle, they will affect my attitude towards drunkenness. That's a dangerous type of influence to have. I want you to read some of these facts that have come out of psychological studies. Friendships protect us in part by changing the way we respond to stress. Blood pressure reactivity is lower when people talk to a supportive friend rather than a friend whom they feel ambivalent about. Like y'all, even down to DNA and how the body functions, friendships have a serious effect. Participants who have a friend by their side while completing a tough task have less heart rate reactivity than those who are working alone. Man, this is so true. A lot of the work that I do at Nairobi Lighthouse Church is the behind the scenes of events. That's things like setting up stage deco, or getting all the small stuff done that makes things happen. Organizing meals, organizing, I don't know, whatever. Just the details of the events. But do you know why I love my job? I love my job not because I love to cut pieces of wood and screw light bulbs in. I can't say that I go to bed dreaming about cutting pieces of wood and screwing light bulbs in. Why I love my job is because Marags and Toro and Sam are my friends, and they make this work so much fun. I love doing events because I get into a room and Pastor Kevin and Anna and George, we sit down and we're like, guys, 45 minutes, we'll have this event. And we're there 3 hours later because half of what we've done is just laughed. It's just so much fun. Friends make the task easier, funner. Look at this. In one study, people even judged a hill to be less steep when they were accompanied by a friend. That is fascinating to me. Hey, We were taken to Longannot. My friend, although I'm going to be honest and tell y'all, it's not a good example, because even though I was with friends, that was a steep mountain, and I will never go back again. But let me tell you guys, there's something about when you're with friends, if you're told to go up alone, like four steps in, you're like, hey, it's steep, hey, it's far. But when you have friends, you gas each other up, man. You're like, ah, we can do this. Let me tell you, I mean, people, I'm okay with it, so you can be okay with the fact that I'm okay with it. We don't need to have an awkward moment here. I'm not in shape. I'm a little fluffy, as we like to say. So when we're going to climb this mountain, it's me and a bunch of skinny people. And why I got to the top of that mountain is because of these people who are like, ah, oh, Bex, you can do it. Me already, the walk from the gate to the base of the mountain, I was like, I'm done. I'm done. This has been excellent. Thank you, guys. A great, I'm building memories. Why did I even attempt? Me with all of my pounds of God's goodness and glory. Why would I try and climb that mountain? Because I have friends next to me saying, come on, Bex. Come on, Bex, you can do it. Ah, Bex, it's so close. Ah, Bex, it's just there. Just there is like 6,000 steps. But let me tell you guys something. I made it to the top of that mountain. Now, I'm never going back, but that's besides the point. I made it to the top. And this is why it's so important that you friend well. Because first of all, what mountain are you even going to attempt to climb? Because they're going to influence what you choose to do with your time and what you're attempting to conquer. But if you're trying to conquer something difficult and something that's beyond your ability, who is side by side with you matters. Who is side by side with you is so important on whether you're going to get the victory or not. So how do you friend well? Well, you're going to grow with the people you spend time with. Some of you, Ronaldo is your best friend, and that's why you're DMing him, because you spend so much time with him. Identify great people. Invest in them. Find your common interests. This is so important. Find your common beliefs. This is the key thing. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You want to know who your inner circle should be? You need to find the few who have found the narrow path. Because who you move with will move you. And if you're not moving with people on the narrow path, my friend, you will leave the narrow path. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen this with my very own close friends. It starts small, but slowly, over time, you see they're missing services, they're disconnecting. Why? Not because they're busy, not because of their business. 100% of the time, it's who they've chosen to stand side by side with. It's who they've chosen to be in friendships with. And they've ended up going to the broad path that many people choose. But I'm so grateful to God for Pastor Kevin and for George and for Toro. I'm so grateful for Anna and Fita. I'm so grateful that I found such a healthy, godly, wonderful, and hot friend in my husband who was helping me stay on the narrow path. When the narrow path gets hard, because it will. I've got people side by side with me. Come on, we can do this. Come on, don't leave, Rebecca. Come on, don't compromise. You're going to regret it, Rebecca. You're going to regret it. I have people who tell me the truth. I have people who call me out. Hey, you guys, have you watched this new series? Which series? This one. Bex, why are you watching that series? Bex, that's not a good series. Bex, that thing is full of language. Why are you watching it? You know, you're like, Well, I won't anymore. Good. Yeah, don't. You're called by God. You have a great destiny in front of you. You don't have time for this low-level nonsense. Come on. Who is on your path? Not who is on your phone. And let me say this. Broken friendships, they definitely can hurt. We all have had friends that at one point we would have called them our side-by-side friends, our inner circle, come on, we're pursuing Jesus together, and something happens and something breaks. I've been there more than once. I'm not talking about people on the outskirts of my social circle. I'm talking about tried and true brothers and sisters who we stood next to for years, who left the path, and it hurts, and there's grief. But we heard this last week, love never gives up. That means I have to say goodbye, even in my heart, and be grateful for the season that we had. But then I look around, who's on my path? And I might find a new friend and say, come on, that's who I'm going to labor with side by side. You know, George and I grew up many years in the same social circle, but George was not my friend. George was Anna's friend. George was on the dance team. Can you believe that? George was on the dance team and Anna was on the dance team. And so it was kind of like George was Anna's friend, right? Nothing bad. It's not that I didn't like George. It's just I was on the worship team. And so me and Kevin were friends because we had our own little clique. But you know what happened is over some years, and I'm just being honest with you guys here. Over some years, the close friends, especially that Pastor Kevin and I, the circle we were in fact, yeah, me and Pastor Kevin are the only two left from who was our close circle at that time when we were in City Lights. And so what happened? Instead of chasing my close friend to the path they'd chosen, I just stopped and looked around and said, all right, who's on this path? And you know who I saw? George. And as time went by, this just became a great friendship. And Anna was willing to share her friend because we're not cliquish like that. Friend will. Friendships are fluid and that's okay. Your best friend from college doesn't have to be your best friend right now. Friends for seasons, friends for reasons. And last one. Hiya, we get to the good stuff, the sweet stuff. Advance well. Because I want to say something. If it's time to advance into marriage, marriage is awesome. Like, yes, it's work and we've heard that. But it's awesome. It's wonderful. If you desire marriage, that's not a wrong desire. That's not a bad desire. Now, when I talk about advance well, I want to make something very clear. Club 812, this is not for you. All right? You can take notes for 5 to 10 years in the future. All right? I don't want you to walk out and say, I'm going to apply the word that Miss Rebecca shared in church today. No, you will not. How do you advance well? Number one, you got to be in the time and season that you actually could get married if it led to that, which is why Club 812, let's be honest, even if you do find the one that God has for you, you probably have less than 10,000 shillings in your savings account of even that. And I'm just telling you right now, you can't live off that. So right now, Club 812, build well. Yeah? Build well. Huh? Friend well. Be in the time and season and the place that you actually want to get married. All right? Don't waste people's time. The right seed in the wrong season will not bear any fruit. The right seed in the wrong season will not bear any fruit, and it will just waste your time and resources. If you're trying to till the ground and break up the soil and plant the seed in the dead of winter, you are wasting everything and everyone. And more importantly than anything, you're wasting the seed. It will not bear fruit. You will kill it. So timing is important. Ecclesiastes, we all know the scripture. He makes things beautiful in his time. Yet we can make it happen. Only he can make it beautiful. And it's based on timing. So be in the season that you're at the place of, I could get married. If this friendship develops and becomes something and it leads to marriage, I actually could. It's not, hi, I love you. You're the love of my life, but I'm going to get my master's and my PhD, so let's plan a wedding for 8 years from now. The likelihood that you're going to stay together, stay in love, and stay on the narrow path in those 8 years is very unlikely. God wants you to build together. If you're like, hi, I want to marry you. I love you. God has spoken. The angels descended. I heard the word. I have the, you know, the word of heaven. And you're 17 years old. Like, it's going to take time. So don't even start the process until you're ready to finish it. All right? I want to say that there's no right way to do the wrong thing. You can't get to the end that God has for you without obeying God's way. So I want to say a word especially to the older singles, because listen, this is all appealing and hopeful when you're 21. But when you're in your 30s, when you're in your 40s and still single, sometimes it can start, let me just say that there are much fewer fish in the sea. You know how they say, there's more fish in the sea. Not when you're 37. Most of them fish are already married and have children. It can feel like that, right? It can feel like there's just not a lot of options, and the ones that are there have good hearts and great personalities. I remember when I was single and I used to say, Lord, you know, whoever you have for me, and then I'd be scared because I thought the Lord would give me a who in my eyes, because beauty's in the eye of the beholder, someone who was just not beautiful to me but had a great heart for the Lord. So I want to say this to all of the singles, but especially the older singles, be open to what God has for you. Don't put God in a box of what it has to look like and what it should look like. Years ago, when I was very young, we were taken on this retreat, and we were all told to write a list of the things that you are believing God for in your future spouse and be very specific. And your girl here was like, oh, I'm ready. Where's my pen? Number one, tall. Number two, fat. Oh, yeah, I wrote it. Because listen, I'm not about to be married to somebody that when a thief comes in, I'm like, I got you, babe, I got you. Don't worry, get behind me. I wanna be protected. And I am 5'8", I ain't short, so I'm like tall and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a husband for Becca, deep and wide. Hallelujah singing. I was very adamant. He must be big. No skinny people in my world. None. I'd see a skinny guy approaching already. I'm like, next. No way. Not me. I'm not going to carry him down the aisle at the end of the wedding. But years and years later, I read this book, and this lady was like, stop with the lists of what you want and start with the list of what are non-negotiables for you. And I wrote a list of what are my non-negotiables, and there were only 7 things. He must be saved. This is a non-negotiable. So it don't matter how great, rich, handsome, wonderful, kind, flow, vibes we have. If he's not saved, not negotiating. He must be spirit-filled. He must be a man under authority. Laughter was one of my non-negotiables. This is not something I'm willing to negotiate. I ain't about to spend the next 50 years, should the Lord tarry, having otherwise moments in my house. There has to be vibes. We have to laugh. This is very important. And once I made my list of non-negotiables and I was like, fine, he doesn't have to be fat or chubby or, you know, take up a lot of the weight of God's glory. And the minute I let go of this list, this tall, skinny man walked into my life. And literally at some point when I was praying, I felt the Lord say, girl, I took care of the height. You take care of the rest. And I was like, I got you. I got you. And that man put on 25 kilos in our first year of marriage, because won't God do it? Yes, he will. Listen, singles, quit putting God in this box of he has to play guitar. You could miss out on the best friend in the world for you. You can marry him and then bless him with a wedding present of guitar lessons. Like, quit putting God in this box that you could be missing out, all right? So how do you advance well? Number one, make it known to your leaders, okay? Don't pursue in the dark. Don't advance this relationship in the dark. Why? Because they're going to help you through the process and help you build a great foundation and help you ask the right questions. If you were about to make a major investment, let's say in a business or a car, wouldn't you want counsel? Proverbs 24, verse 5 and 6 says, a wise man is strong and a man of knowledge strengthens his power. For by wise guidance, you can wage your war. And in the abundance of wise counselors, there is victory and safety. When Alan and I started courting, when we got to that point of we're friends, and I mean, like, I'm going to be honest. From the second time Alan and I hung out, I was like, yes, yes, just yes. But it wasn't about until about 9 months later that we actually started our relationship. And because I'm a member of NLC and I'm saved and I know the process we do, I humbly, and I say that in big quotes, because in my heart I was like, I'm already in my 30s. I don't need help. I'm not a baby. We went to our cell leaders, John and Rosie, and sat down. And they gave us just wisdom and guidelines and counsel. And it was all good. And outwardly, I was very like, amen, yes, amen, of course, yes, yes, yes. And in my heart, I was like, I got this. But one of the things that they did, and Pastor Kevin did as well, because Alan was in Pastor Kevin's cell at the time, is they gave us a list of questions. And they're like, we're going to put you on our courtship track. And my ears perked up because I'm like, oh, we do that here? I wouldn't know because before Alan, I never courted the way NLC suggested, so I didn't know. I'm like, what's a courtship track? And I'm like, yeah, here's a list of questions. We want you to go home and talk about them. You know, next time you guys go out on a date or whatever, go through these questions. And we go have this date and we sit down. And do you know what one of the questions is? The question is, did your dad have a specific chair that he sat in his house, in your house growing up? And I read it and I'm like, well, that's dumb. And so, but we're doing all due diligence. So we sit down. I'm like, Alan, did your dad have a chair that he sat in? And Alan's like, no. And I'm like, really? My dad totally had a chair. Like, at the dining table, that's dad's chair. Nobody sits in that chair. And in the living room, that's dad's chair, which you can sit in it. But if dad walks in, you have to get up and move because that's dad's chair. We literally talked for like 40 minutes on our family culture. And it was all sparked by this one question. Why are we making it known to our leaders? Because they're here to help us have the conversations that matter. They're here to help pace us. They're here to help us. And I think we have this very twisted idea that they're here to just tell us, no. Pastor, I've seen this lovely lady I'd like to, no. Can I tell you something true about the pastors of NLC? They won't tell you no. They'll give you wisdom, and they might lead you to your own no. They might ask you some questions that by the end of it, you're like, yeah, no. They're here to help. You need to value the people who've been successful. That pastor convinced somebody to marry him. That's exactly what you're trying to do right now. Why not go to someone who did it? Because you're here with your six ex-girlfriends asking the man who convinced somebody to marry him. You get what I'm saying? Why do we have this idea in our head of they don't know? You haven't even had victory yet. They have. They help pace us. You know, I don't know about the other women in this house, but me, by a second date, I was like, let's get married. Here's all the things I want. I'm going to name my first child Ariella and my second child this. And okay, boo thing, love you, babe, heart, heart, XOXO. Like in my head, I'm already married. In my head, this is a done deal. And the pastors are like, Rebecca, slow down. You're going to scare him off. Relax. And I'm like, do you see how hot this man is? One day he's going to wake up and realize he picked the wrong one. We got to get the ring on it before he realizes. And the pastors are helping me pace and helping me ask the right questions. They're helping me know when to open deep and personal parts of my life. Because you don't want to say it so early that then the relationship ends and now bro has lots of info about you and your past. But you also don't want to say it so late that by the time he asks you to marry him and then you're like, by the way, I need to tell you about my past. And he's like, hey, if I'd known this, maybe I might have made a different choice. They help pace you. They're for you. Singles, your pastors, your cell leaders, they're for you. They also want you to get married because you will stress them less. Tell them because also they have inside information, many of them, if they're in this church, about the people you want to court. One time years ago, I mean, we were teenagers, and our youth pastor at the time, there was a guy in our church who wanted to approach me, and he'd been talking to the pastor. The pastor was like, I'll tell you how we do this thing with Bex and whatever. And so there's we had a City Lights function that day, and this is the day that pastor and this guy have planned that he's going to come and approach me and ask me, like, you know, to his girlfriend. And that exact day, before the service, I go to our youth pastor. I'm like, Pastor, I'm in love with this other guy, and he broke my heart, and I cry, and I cry. And so literally, pastor goes to the guy, and he's like, abort, 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 abort. Listen, your pastors are going to help you. They're going to up your game. They know things. They know things about this. They know that a relationship just ended. And this isn't the right time to shoot your shot, man. Give it 6 months. Like, they're for you. Singles, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay? We need to see in our pastors and our leaders as assets. Because if you ever date somebody or want to get to know somebody and they want to keep it a secret, I'm telling you, red flag. If that bro or that sis is like, guys, this is just between us. Let's not tell the pastor or anybody yet. Bro, sis, can I just help you? I mean, I would do an interpretational dance on this stage with this flag. Way before when I got married to Alan, there was a guy I liked for many years. And I'm telling you, church, for the entire time that I liked this guy, I was his secret. We had conversations, he and I, multiple times, many times where he'd say, I love you, you're the one, I'm gonna marry you, I love your father, I love your family, I love everybody. He said all the right things. But then when we'd be in public, I'd walk into the room and he'd be like, hey, Sasa, and then he'd move on. And I'm like, but he convinced me, it's private, it's between us. I don't want the whole world to know what's going on. And I followed this for years, because there's a difference between keeping it secret and keeping it private. Secret means we don't tell anybody. Private means we tell our leaders, we tell our parents, and we tell our close circle. When Alan and I started courting, we were from different churches. I'd been through a lot of drama already. I did not want something public. And honestly, you guys, I wanted Alan to have the open door to a no. If we have this courtship and it ends in no, as long as we've been pure and holy and honoring, that's a successful courtship. Like, well done you if you court and it ends in no because you just realize we're not a good team. This is not a good partnership. Alan and I did not post on social media a picture of him and myself until we were engaged, which was actually exactly 4 weeks before we got married. Because we wanted to keep it private. But did our pastors know? Miss Rosie knew I liked him before Alan knew I liked him. My parents knew I liked him. Because I want their input and I want their help. In fact, when the day Alan told me that he liked me, it was the best day of my life. Well, that's not true. My wedding day. Well, that's not true. Okay, anyway, it was a great day. And I was so scared because I have been somebody's secret. I have been somebody's genie amaji. I have been somebody's. And so I told him, I was like, Aya, you want to date me? Pastor Don, Pastor David Briggs, overseer of the church, Pastor Nelson, senior associate pastor, John Ngayu, administrator of the church. Like, I'm giving like the big dogs. My brother David, Kevin Malu, Toro. I told him, Alan, those seven men, that's my circle of counsel. If any one of those men says no, my answer is no. And also, if all six of them say yes and my father says no, it's no. And I intended to scare him off. And Alan looked at me and said, great, when can I talk to them? And I was like, bro, talk is cheap. Oh, don't snap. You don't snap for what men say. You snap for what men do, all right? Alan went and talked to every single one of them. He let every single one of them know his intentions and his desires. And every single one of them walked with us and stood with us in that process. They should be able to know. Look, if they're not a believer, if their values and beliefs don't align with yours, if they're only using this relationship to gain knowledge and experience, if they're only test driving you to see if they really want to continue with you, listen, you're finding out if this is a good friend you can spend the rest of your life with, and that's not what a good friend does. I want to end by saying this. Singles, trust God. Enjoy this season you're in. Don't push past this season. God is for you. God is for you. He has a good plan in front of you. Don't waste this time. Don't get into marriage, and a month before you get married, you're like, Aya, let me start really working on myself now. Do it now. Build yourself well now. Look back on this season with no regrets. Live your life to the fullest right now. Have great friends. Build well in this season. Amen? I want to end with this statement. Many of our breakthroughs are heading to us at the speed of our obedience. Your breakthroughs are heading to you at the speed of your obedience. Obey, trust, submit, surrender. I want to ask all the singles in the room to stand up. If you're here and you're not yet married, Would you go ahead and stand? And my husband's going to come side by side with me, and he's going to pray over all of you right now. Can we welcome the man of God?
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as your word encourages us in Ecclesiastes, that to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And Lord, we pray that even for every one of these that's standing, Lord, that have been called to a great purpose in this season of their life, and as they connect with your heart, staying the course and shutting out any influences that would move them away from the narrow path that we've heard about today, Lord, that they are building well, they are friending well, they are advancing well, they are carrying and stewarding this season and time well. And Lord, for every breakthrough that they're in faith for, that they're believing for, that Father, it'll come to pass in an incredible way. And Father, we thank you, and we declare and we believe that every lie of the enemy, every voice that is whispering in their ear that they are without, that they are missing out, that they are not whole because they are single, Lord, we shut those voices down in Jesus' name. And we are believing that as you have made them whole and that you are continuing to grow them and build them, that, Lord, they are living their lives in the fullness, as your word says, in the fullness of what you have before them. And Lord, for those who desire to move into a different season, perhaps marriage or even a next level in their career, Lord, we know that you have not put desires in our hearts, in us, Lord, to frustrate us. But Lord, we pray that as they walk out this season well, you're bringing individuals their way, a rich community of believers that would come around them, and as they are readying themselves, Lord, to come side by side with them, building rich friendships, Lord, we pray that through incredible, meaningful relationships, Lord, as they submit themselves to their leaders, to their pastors, that, Lord, they're seeing these friendships grow and advance in a manner that is a witness of each of the values that we've heard about in the message today. And Lord, we just celebrate them and we cheer them on and believe that their lives are progressing in a meaningful and a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, be released. Go have a great week, a blessed week, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.